Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to the fourth episode of Growth Marketing Today. In this episode, I chat with David Hurley, the growth person at PlansWell. And man, this guy is just so fascinating because one of the things that's very unique about him is that he can code Python, he can create Slack bots. And the cool thing about him also is just he's just a nice guy. And one of the things we chatted about in this episode is the importance for growth marketers to be able to dig into data through APIs, CSV, and make insights out of that. That's what he says is really important. We also talked about how traditional marketing is more siloed, and what growth marketers are now doing and growth people is that they are hybrids that can talk to the sales team, design team, to the product team, and to the marketing team. So they're just overall almost like a T-shaped professional. And like this guy, he really is T-shaped. Like I said, the fun things, quote-unquote things that he likes to do over the weekend is to build bots and automate stuff at scale. Man, that is so cool. I don't want to hold you back anymore. Listen in on my chat with David Hurley, growth at PlansWell. Hey, everyone. I have here David from PlansWell. I'm so pumped because I just walked in and he showed me one of the apps that he just built for his team. But I'm pretty excited here to have David.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for having me in that app. That's actually something I built two weekends ago, but it's from a company. I'm sure you're familiar with Top Hat.
Yeah. Top Hat.
I was there early on and they had this thing called Sales Tracker.
Okay.
And it would live post all your activities. So dials, how many meetings you were booking. And I felt like I was in sales at the time, and that's a really motivating leaderboard.
It is.
And so I thought I would take that idea and bring it here.
Cool.
It's been good so far.
I like that scrappy attitude, man. Before we start talking about PlansWell, I know you want to talk about that.
Sure.
Maybe we can talk about you first. Tell me a little bit about your career so far and how you got to where you are right now.
Sure. So I mentioned Top Hat. I was there, I guess, 4 years ago now. And while I was working there, I started learning how to code on nights and on weekends just for fun. It was a hobby. But ultimately, I saw what the developers are doing. I thought it was really cool. I wanted to build my own tech company.
Yeah.
So I just pursued learning how to code. And working there allowed me to save up enough money to attend BitMaker.
Cool.
And so I went to BitMaker and started coding full time. My actual final project for that was building a Kickstarter clone for craft beer with a buddy of mine.
That's cool. Okay.
It's still online today, actually.
Nice.
We even tried to reach out to craft breweries, but ultimately we were more interested in the coding than the actual business side of it.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then, so we built that together and then paid. Took a chance on both of us, and we were hired on to work on their app. And eventually, we built a new one from scratch.
Wow.
So we were there a little over a year. It was a really fun experience. Yeah, and then I left there to do my own education app, teach kids math. Again, mostly just the pursuit. I was really enjoying learning how to code at that point,
yeah.
Not thinking of the business
right.
Side. Realized I still needed to pay my rent. And then serendipitously, I met Eric Arnold.
Okay.
We started talking about right. PlansWell over lunch one day, I remember. And then I liked his attitude towards growth.
Okay.
It's very ambitious. And I said, you know what? I want to be at a company like that. So I made the dive. That was 15 months ago.
Wow.
And, I've been here ever since. Yeah.
It's cool that you started off as a programmer. I started my career off as a developer myself at PepsiCo. And transitioned quickly to growth when I started doing startups.
Awesome.
And I find this very helpful. I'm curious for yourself how you find programming has helped you doing growth for tech companies.
Yeah, I'm a big believer. I think it's because of my development background that every growth tactic, it should be measurable.
Yeah.
So you have to understand how to work with data. And if you get into a startup scene, you'll start to understand very quick that data can appear in different places. So to be able to pull data from different places, whether it be APIs, CSVs, put it in one spot, understand how to run an analysis on it, just to make sense of what you're doing, is really important. Now, that's one side of it. I think it's probably the most important side. The fun side is building bots.
Yeah.
It's automating stuff at scale that right. can get quite boring quickly if you were to do a manual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. Right. What kind of stuff have you built for Plantswell? Like you talked about the sales tracker.
Yeah. So sales tracker, that was a fun app. That was a fun afternoon. All our analytics, a lot of the data is, some of the data is in Facebook ads. We used a survey tool at one point, Survey Gizmo, some data is in CSVs there. I mentioned we have Pipedrive, our CRM, some data exists there. Some data exists on our production server. So I've built bots to basically take data from there, put it in all one spot, make sense of it, and then populate it into a Google Sheet. So that's one of our bots, an analytics bot.
Right.
I'm working on a Facebook ads bot too. Right now I do everything manually, but I want to do it at scale. And that's going to mean I'm going to have to do that. So I'm already in the process of it. That's a little more complicated than the analytics stuff.
Wow. Okay. You're like this genius person that does it all.
I wouldn't say genius. Yeah. I just really enjoy...
It's curiosity. You're curious.
Just very curious and very much taking advantage of the skills I have. I'm not big into, say, SEO or maybe content marketing. Right. We have a solid team, marketing team that handles that.
Right.
My curiosity and stuff really lies into just things I think are fun in tech. So that's really what's guided me.
Cool. I guess you're starting to delve into it. You're talking about SEO and more traditional digital marketing. And then there's you. There's you and me, and there's people that's kind of, we're a bunch of weirdos in the whole marketing department.
Sure.
What do you think is the difference between like digital marketing? And I'm not harping on them. I'm saying there's just a difference. What's the difference between growth marketing versus just traditional marketing or digital marketing?
Traditional marketing, I think it's sort of been a separation of church and state. There's your marketing department. There's your development team, your sales team, and they all have to work together. I feel like a growth requires a scrappier attitude where you need to be able to be cross-disciplined. So being able to jump into a development conversation if need be.
Mm.
Growth really is a reflection of your product, your marketing, your sales. It's all one big funnel. So being able to jump across different teams and make sense of it all is my mindset. Now, I also think I should know SEO, content marketing, and other things.
Yeah.
But honestly, I do what interests me, and that's what's guided me.
And it's about being this whole concept of being T-shaped, right? You're good at one thing, but you're also know a little bit of everything for you to...
Yeah, I think that's why I got into development. It was more I just wanted to... my first startup I ever tried failed miserably. I could never have a conversation with my developer. It seemed he didn't understand what my vision was. But now I understand that towards any department, you really need to be able to at least have a conversation, a productive one. And that means knowing a little bit of what they're experiencing on their side of the fence. So
nice.
It's very important.
I'm finding like growth marketers come from like different backgrounds in terms of education, like a biomedical engineering, and like one had philosophy and things. What was your background before you got into this?
I was a math major at Queens.
Nice.
I did not pursue math.
Well, you
that degree, and I was like, kind of lost.
It's the appreciation of metrics and numbers.
Yeah, and problem solving.
Right.
They really force you to think, how to think critically about any given problem.
Right.
So yeah, those I definitely gained a lot of skills, and dipping back into them now, funny enough, lately. But yeah, and then funny enough, I needed to make money. I knew I didn't want to go back to school.
Yeah.
Be an actuary or whatever job
right.
you get with those skills. So I just said, cool. Tech's really cool. So I joined a company called DealFine. I got into sales.
Wow. Yeah. You got into sales. It's funny how our stories match, because I did a math degree at Waterloo.
Awesome.
Got into programming. And then I went into like a hybrid marketing sales where my CEO was like, hey, you need to do like 80 calls a day. I'm like, cool. So you were doing calls.
Oh yeah, cold calls. Like you really needed to, like, you're a personable guy. I get it.
Yeah.
It was just something where, well, what skills do you have? And I was like, I don't know. I don't, like, no one's hiring me to do math. There's no math factory.
Yeah,
so
right.
It was like, I guess I can talk to people over the phone. So I did that and I did it for a few years, but then I understood, well, if you really want to do something like get the creative side,
right?
You got to pick up a skill, and that skill I chose was coding.
Nice. No, that's so good. I'm finding a lot of like growth marketers come from math, but they also have a few of them have like sales background. It's just having that appreciation for the customers. How has doing sales appreciate, you know, help you become a better growth marketer?
It's a good question. I think in any business, you can kind of, especially in the startup world, there's your business side and your technology side. And sometimes, a lot of time, there's a divide between each side. There's not an appreciation, so that a business team doesn't really understand what's right. going on in the development side. The developers don't really get what's going on. What are they doing all day,
right?
Both sides, it's hard to measure productivity, but being able to understand both sides is tough. It's like two different sides of your brain.
But right, so true.
Being able to understand both sides is definitely where I want it to be.
Awesome. No, that's so true. It seems like also, I want to talk a little bit about growth marketers itself. You're starting to delve into like what skills you feel like they should have, or they, you know, not just in general, but like, what does a growth marketer look like? What is a growth person? What kind of skills should they have?
Right. I think it changes depending on what the needs of your company are.
Right.
But like I was discussing this with this CMO of Vengage.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Night,
and she was saying that like her play is totally SEO content play.
Okay.
She wouldn't need to, her repertoire doesn't require, she would be a growth marketer, but it doesn't require her to say, know how to code.
Right.
I don't think that's a requirement, but yeah. If you're someone like me who's kind of likes that side of it,
right.
you need to know. You need to know how to code. You can't depend on someone else for that. So I don't think there is a cut and dry, like these are the requirements you need. You really need to understand like the whole landscape. And I don't recommend ever learning every marketing strategy.
Yeah.
It's way too daunting.
Right.
But definitely learn as much as you can. Learn just the different facets, SEO, content, advertising. Right. Learn that and then figure out like where your niche is, what you're good at, and then just continue to explore that. So if you're a guy like me, coding for sure, data analysis for sure, being creative every day, and then getting really good at Facebook ads, especially if you're B2C.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely B2C. And that's what your Planswell is all about.
Planswell is definitely financial plans for the everyday Canadian.
Nice. Yeah, I was just going to ask you what Planswell is all about, but you just answered it. Nice.
Yeah, that's right.
You talked a little bit about how Eric, you really enjoyed like Eric's like philosophy behind growth.
Right.
What's your growth process look like right now at Planswell?
Right now it's, we spent the last year, we have a very optimal marketing funnel, onboarding clients. They answer about 20 to 40 questions and they see a financial plan.
Nice.
Afterwards, it's a requirement that they speak with one of our plan pros to personalize their plan. And then eventually we implement them and offer up the services we offer. So we have a very well thought out marketing funnel where we use Facebook ads and we can get leads for anywhere from $3 to $5. Now that's took a lot of A/B tests, lot of time. Right now, my growth process looks like this. I work very closely with the sales team.
Nice.
To understand that funnel, our sales funnel, and understanding the costs and conversion rates at each stage in that funnel. So it's a mix between, we're experimenting right now with different experiences we give clients over the phone, and then tracking those experiences. So literally A/B testing scripts, different flows, maybe it's multiple calls. And we'll probably be doing that for the next couple months. And so right now it's a lot of, I even made cold calls myself, like just understanding how can we give this person who's created a plan with us just the best experience we can do. And I think we can figure it out in the next month or two. We hired a great sales team.
Nice.
And we've been giving some clients some awesome experiences. Just before you came in, we had one of our clients actually hit a gong and we all cheered her on. I mean, it should be an exciting one. And I think it's so exciting. We're confident she's going to tell her friends and we'll get some word of mouth too. So
nice. That's good. I had a really interesting conversation with Sylvia from 500 Pixels. And yeah. She was talking about how culture actually contributes to growth. And sure. Maybe you can chat about how you see that the whole gong thing is very, it's not unique to Plantsville, but it's part of Plantsville now.
It's part of our culture to get very excited about the successes we do have. We show data to the whole company about, right now we're really focused on our sales funnel. So we're showing everyone through dashboards, you know, the individual successes of everyone. When we do get a client, obviously there's the gong. When they book an appointment with someone, actually taking someone who just clicked on an ad, answered a few questions, and then take their time to pick up the phone and say, yeah, I want to hear more about my finances. We ring a bell and everyone, the whole company cheers. I mean, that's part of our culture here is to really like, we're all really hardworking, but we all really appreciate those successes.
You know, that's so true. Earlier, you were talking about like automating and systemizing things, you know, specifically growth, because that's one key skill of growth is you need to automate things eventually because you can move on to new things.
Right.
How have you like implemented automation here at Plantsville?
That's a good question. Typically, I like to do things manual at first.
Yeah.
Just really feel the pain. I think that's a common saying in this industry. It's just you want to feel the pain before you automate something. And that's just development, I feel. And it's the right way to do it. Like sort of do things that don't scale.
Right.
So I'll always look at it manually, even if I manually input data into a spreadsheet or manually create Facebook campaigns, manually like, you know, do an analysis in Google Sheets, I'll do it. But after I'll do it maybe a few times, confident that what I'm doing is accurate, get other guys in the business team to kind of audit it, make sure everything looks good. And then I am absolutely going to write a script against it and put that thing in the cloud running every hour as soon as as it's done. And I'll never have to think about it again. I move on to the next person. It allows me to be more productive day to day.
Well, kind of tools, what's your tech stack look like? In terms of like,
it depends. If I'm doing all my data analysis right now is Python. And so I spend most of my day working in Python. I like that for APIs, any type of CSV parsing. But if I want to display data,
yeah,
I've always had like a guilty pleasure for Meteor, just real time data. And I worked with React in production for a long time. So I'm a React fan.
Okay. What does the dev team think of you? Like, I'm guessing you have a different repo, right? Or do you check into the same?
Yeah, I got my own repo. There's definitely a separation there. I think there's definitely curiosity. I speak with them the odd time on it. And I'm definitely interested in what they do.
Yeah.
We're Elixir, React Stack here, GraphQL. Nice. Very talented group of engineers. I think we'll be the biggest Elixir shop in the city soon, and all very talented people.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. No, that's very nice. Not a lot of marketers can talk like what you're just talking about right now, I find.
Right.
It's just interest, right?
Yeah, it's just interest. And honestly, there's a lot of things in marketing I still learn.
Right.
I'm still getting used to. Like, I never even ran a Facebook ad before I started this company over a year ago. Eric Arnold showed me a lot of that.
Nice.
He's got an extensive background in marketing. So I've learned a lot from him. But I've always stuck to what I'm comfortable with. And that's definitely a bit of coding, a lot of creativity. And
nice. It seems like you look up to Eric almost as
we share the same view. Yeah, for sure. We share the same views on a lot of things. He mentioned he wants to be same growth as sort of like a Netflix or a Groupon.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to be at a company like that too.
Nice.
So that's what we're trying to build here.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting, man. I know that you started off, well, one of the companies you work with was HashtagPaid, which is B2B, more B2B.
B2B,
right?
Yeah.
And then Plantsville is B2C. How does the process, the whole growth process, differ from the two?
It differed a lot, actually. And I was very, like, I wouldn't say I had a growth process at Paid.
Yeah,
I had a growth hack at Paid.
All right.
But I was mostly day-to-day working on their app.
I know we shouldn't be talking about growth hacks here. Yeah. In the process, but I'm curious, what was that growth hack?
So it was cool. It was something I did, again, on a weekend, just looking at the data. And then we knew fundamentally there was a correlation between how many followers you had and how many likes you were getting per post. with how much money you were making on the platform.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
So like if you had, say,
yeah,
so someone with 100,000 followers is going to make somewhat more than someone with 10,000.
Yeah.
So, but how do you define that relationship? So we looked at maybe a year's worth of data. We found a relationship between how many followers you had basically and likes and how much money you were making. And so given any Instagram account, you could say, hey, you could make $100 a post. You could make that. And for any account, like right. there's a fundamental relationship there. So you build a landing page. So I build a landing page, you sign up with your Instagram account and we'd say, hey, you get, you know, you're worth 35. I think I was worth 35. I don't have any balls. I was worth like nothing, but it was fascinating. We started just sharing it with friends.
That's cool.
And then people started sharing it. And then we noticed that some big accounts started to come on.
Cool.
We generated like a few thousand leads off that just through word of mouth.
Right.
Oh no. And then we created a bot on Instagram to like crawl it. And if you had an email in your bio, you're getting an email from me being like, find out how much you're worth on Instagram.
No, that's cool.
And, but right. I messed up one day. I remember there's jokes. I think I emailed the same person like four times.
No way.
And the same day. They were pretty mad, but I don't know. It just, I wasn't like QAing my code or anything. So it is what it is.
That's so funny. I really love that. You rooted it in data.
Right.
It's not that typical, like, oh, it's just a hack. It was like, there's some numbers behind it. And it's interesting how you found the relationship. Like, was it linear? Was it, you know, if you had this much followers and likes, then, you know, you did some kind of linear formula to figure
out? Yeah, a multi-linear regression analysis, I think is what you would call it.
Cool.
But honestly, I had to like any problem in development or right. analysis, I just Google the crap out of it, find some guys already done it.
Right.
And then, yeah, I guess it's kind of like what I learned at Queens. You just kind of attack the problem and just be relentless about it and then come up with a solution.
Right.
And the thing is, it's like, so I think some people will call it machine learning now. And it's like, it's not that. It's just, it was smart enough to fool some people. Like we were initially showing people, they'd sign up and be like, oh my God, that's kind of like close to what I was making. I was like, well, yeah, it's based off like real data. Yeah. And then it wowed a few people. They couldn't believe it. So it was shareable. So it made sense.
Oh, that makes sense. I really love that. Right. I really love how, what you said about problem solving. And I find that this thing in growth is like, What really gets me excited is being given a problem.
Right.
Because like the solution is, process to the solution is what gets me excited.
Right.
Does it do the same? It does the same for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a different problem almost every day here.
Right.
And then like I'll mention Python, I'll mention analysis, I'll mention bots, but the root of it is that problem and then being able to come up with a solution and then ultimately present the solution.
Yeah.
Or present an array of solutions.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, in the process about that, it's, I guess I've never really articulated it, but it usually involves a ton of Google searches.
And yeah. And just
like a no quit attitude.
No, that's so true. I think one of the things that I think growth people should also be able to figure out is which problems they should be tackling first. Like, is that prioritization?
Right.
How do you do that? How do you figure that out with your team? Like, what is our focus?
I like to look at the funnel overall, like really holistically. Like I mentioned marketing funnel and our sales funnel right now. And I could continue to do A/B tests and optimize our onboarding.
Right.
But that wouldn't really move the needle overall. When you can already get a lead for, you know, $3 to $5, does it matter that if it's $1 to $2? Down the road, it might.
Right.
But right now, you look at the cost at each stage in the sales funnel, you start getting to the hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
So if you want to hit a home run, so to speak, you're going to optimize the sales funnel. So
yeah,
it's a lot of being able to understand their processes, and then working with them to optimize that experience of the customer journey.
Right.
So again, I could spend all my day A/B testing and doing easy stuff on the marketing side,
right.
Or I could be getting my hands dirty and working to optimize sales funnel.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at a true funnel analysis overall, you're going to always be optimizing for what's the most expensive or what's going to generate the most revenue. And I'm more concerned about cost at this point.
Nice. What I was just going to ask you is like what part of the funnel you're really focused on right now. Like maybe like more practical, like what kind of things are you doing at the moment to optimize that sales funnel?
Optimize the sales funnel. I mentioned Sales Tracker, being able to just, I think a lot of it comes with data. So being able to map out each stage of the sales funnel is really good.
Right.
And then understanding the costs at each of them. So it may cost me, you know, $5 to get a lead, but we really don't care about that. It's more of a vanity metric. Right now we're focused on how much does it cost to actually get that person on the phone. That could be $100. It could be $200 per campaign.
Right.
How quickly are we phoning people?
Okay, I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, so that's the growth process, being like, what experiments can we do week to week with how we handle these leads that are going to move the needle forward? So right now we figured out that, yeah, if you phone people right after they create a plan, they convert at a higher rate. So we basically, every time there's a plan created and someone gives us their phone number, it populates into a Slack channel. And then our I didn't build that. No, it was my idea to put it into the Slack channel, but that's integrated with our app. So you have to, that requires proper QA, proper.
But I'm sure you wanted to. You wanted to say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime I get my hands dirty, I did some work on our app.
Yeah.
Before. Really? Our front end's in React, so I can get in there, and we had this one landing page that was not really a landing page. It was like five calls to action inside a modal. It was a very hard So any type of growth marketer or any marketer in general or any type of person that's done any type of landing page optimization would look at it and just be like, this is a nightmare. So I went in and probably spent the afternoon just taking away. A good thing in the landing pages is just take away as much as you can.
Right.
Make it one CTA and make it very obvious. Yeah. So that's all I did, was make it a huge green button and remove every other link and say, personalize your plan.
Yeah.
And yeah, it boosted boosted conversion rates by like 40%.
Dang. No, it's...
So that was just, yeah.
It was no brainer.
Data.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't like, I'm not like a design freak or anything. It was more just an obvious thing. It was like, remove all the options except one. What am I go to on landing pages?
Same. No, that means five call to actions, but I don't know what that page looked like.
It was built by a developer who's not here anymore. And
maybe that's why. No, I'm just joking.
It was some people with an experience want to give the user...
Everything.
I don't want to get too into it, but it like, let's give them an option to call. Let's give them an option to email.
Yeah.
Let's give them an option to go to our blog. Let's give them all these different, like a buffet of options.
Yeah.
But ultimately what they're trying to do is provide an awesome experience for the customer. And I get it, but sometimes it just gets confusing and overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I'm one of those people who get confused easily. Like, I definitely get confused.
For sure.
So it seems like cost per demo is something that you're really looking at.
Well, that'll change over time and it'll evolve.
Yeah.
Because eventually we want to know what the cost per appointment held is.
Okay.
Like you only care about that when you're holding a lot of appointments.
Right.
Eventually we want to get down. Ultimately, I think the holy grail is cost to acquire a client.
Yeah.
We're still very early stages. We're still behind a wait list.
No.
We're still maturing as a company to get there, but eventually we'll get there.
Everybody looks at this cost per acquisition, but you're looking at it step by step backwards from that in terms of the funnel.
Of course. Yeah. Every stage you want to look at it and then figure out what's your biggest increasing cost and try to optimize it.
That's a good way. I've never heard it. Put it that way, and now it's kind of sinking into my brain.
That's right.
Makes sense. Is that your North Star, like that one metric you're really looking at as a team right now?
Currently it is. I think in maybe a month it's going to be cost per appointment held. And then we have a few more stages. I don't want to get too far into it.
Yeah.
But it will evolve over time, and I'm hoping in a couple of months it'll be cost per acquisition. Then we'll start looking at revenue per campaign, per marketing source. We have multiple sources. It's not just Facebook ads.
Yeah, no, that's true. That makes sense. I want to talk a little bit about the industry. I know fintech is so big right now in Toronto. I was working at a fintech company.
Yep.
And then especially here, what's happening is that I found working at that fintech is that trust is a big barrier. Was there anything that you yourself did to like overcome the barrier in terms of marketing or growth?
Barrier of trust. Trust is huge.
Yeah.
in our company. We've gotten over it. Just our business model, I think, solves that. It comes a lot from Eric. And we say this all the time. We have a very compelling offer. No one else is providing financial plans to people in a very obvious way. You need to be of a certain asset class for the big banks to even sort of take you seriously and give you a financial plan. Hmm. So what we offer is very compelling, and we offer it for free.
Wow.
So I think people are generally, because they don't have access to it, they're driven by curiosity.
Okay.
We've directed our advertising that way. And we found that people just want to know where they're at financially. Very hard to do.
Yeah.
Until plans walk came along.
No, that's pretty cool.
So we have trust inherently built inside our business.
No, that really does make sense. Like, you had me at free. What is your business revenue model then? Or is that not?
That's a great question. So everyone gets a free financial plan. Now we can also help you implement that plan. So if your plan dictates you need insurance, investments, you may need to refinance your mortgage. Now we can do that for you.
And okay.
That's where we'll make our money. Yeah.
That makes sense. I also find like the financial industry is really ruled by like rigidness and process. And I remember just my CEO, when I was working at that fintech company, was just shaking his head at BMO because they wouldn't do something that we needed critically. And I'm finding that that's true for a lot of fintech companies.
Sure.
How have you overcome that as as a company, as growth, particularly me as growth? I want to move fast. Like, I'm always thinking about, this whole podcast. I thought about it last month. I rented it at Long McQuaid.
That's awesome.
I started recording 2 weeks ago and it's launching in 3 weeks. Like, we are in early. Like, we just want to get shit done, right?
Yeah, you want to do things quickly. You want to be experimenting every day.
Right.
Not being obviously handcuffed by anything, really. You want to be able to experiment and do what's needed. That day, we do have financial advisors that work here. Eric Arnold used to be a financial advisor.
Nice. Right.
But he also has a very comes from affiliate marketing background too.
Oh, okay.
So he gets it when it comes to high growth companies. We share those pursuits. So I'll say I'm lucky in a way. I don't have to do much convincing around here to run experiments.
That's good.
The founding team, even our COO, Scott, he has a bit of an affiliate marketing background. He's also an engineer.
Nice.
So he gets the need for it and sort of just they allow enough freedom for me to kind of just do my thing.
Do your thing. You saw like a SWAT team, right? Like, just gotta let that guy do his thing, just get out of his way. He's a ninja.
But I can't do it on my own. I'm supported by
great team.
We got a great marketing team here.
Yeah.
Great CMO, Mike Wickware.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not just me. I've learned a lot of things from people here. But we don't really handcuff each other. We just work together really well.
How do you work with a marketing team? Do you are you reporting to the CMO or are you reporting to the CEO? Because you're kind of...
I report to the CMO and the COO.
Okay.
And for different things.
Okay, nice.
So the CMO, I report to him mostly just... He keeps me in check in terms of branding and messaging. I used to do maybe clickbait ads, ads that were really cheap, maybe off brand, but now they're on brand and they fill a void in terms of design, messaging, brand,
right.
Maybe not the things I'm the strongest at.
Yeah.
But, so I get a lot of support there. And then when I see COO, it's usually data related. He needs to make some pretty high level business decisions.
Right.
Where a funnel analysis is very low level. You're very much looking at every stage of the funnel.
Yeah.
Higher business level decisions, they need the same data.
Right.
They're talking to, investors and
nice.
Like that. So I support him there.
Nice.
Yeah.
If they were ever to blow up the whole growth team, what would your team look like as a SWAT? I've talked to somebody from HubSpot and they've created a semi-SWAT growth team that would just jump from business to business just fixing stuff.
Right.
What would your growth team look like if you were to build one?
You know what? It's hard to say. I would hire to fulfill the needs as it came. So I would hire to solve a problem.
Right.
So if I found that I needed to scale my efforts and right. I couldn't automate it with code, I would hire someone to so it would be more, it would be like a scale thing.
Okay.
It was just, I was just working so many hours a day and not getting right. as much as needed done. Right. I would hire to fulfill that. But as it stands now,
right.
probably my days are long, but I still have a good work-life balance.
But let's say in the future, let's say you're going to create a team to solve hard problems.
Hard problems?
In Plantswell. Like
I would look for people with experience solving hard problems. I wouldn't say developer exclusively.
Right.
I wouldn't say, you know, people with math backgrounds exclusively, but just a good proven track record of here's a problem, I solved it, I'm flexible, I'm not stuck in my ways, I'm not good at one thing.
Right.
Just a variety of skills and sort of the right attitude to like being able to jump from problem to problem with ease. And I know that's a really high level. There's no like
right.
checklist of you need this skill, you need this skill. It's like I learn really quick. I'm not afraid to tackle problems and I can jump between different problems day to day as needed.
Nice, nice. I'd like to wrap up soon. I just have two more sure. questions. I think the first one is if you have any advice for anybody who wants to get into what growth and maybe somebody transitioning from like sales or something, yeah. or they just graduated.
They just graduated. I guess it depends on your background. Anyone in sales like me, like I would always start picking up skills. There are great online resources. Udacity has a great one out. They call it digital marketing, but there's a lot of growth stuff in it. That looks good. I actually took a growth hacking course through 1 month.
Matan. Yeah.
So Matan actually does the course, and that guy knows his stuff when it comes to growth.
Nice.
He's a mix between business and development. He gets both sides, so he's a great guy to listen to. Does some great case studies on what companies have done in the past, and it gets you in the right mindset of nice. Of how to look at growth going forward. So it's really simple. Whether you're getting into marketing or in tech in general, it's just always be learning. You could literally learn every day as half your job and still not learn everything.
No, that's true.
So that's what makes it fun, and that's what makes it a challenge too.
Nice. No, that's so true. It's a learning that's so important. I find a lot of growth people they also have the growth mindset, understanding that who I am right now, it's not the end, right? There's always more. There's always
more.
Yeah.
You can always evolve. You can always learn something different. You could always have another tool you can leverage. It never ends. Yeah.
Nice. I guess the final thing is if you have any shout out, do you want to shout out about Plantswell, or maybe you have a blog or you have some content or your LinkedIn.
By the time you release this podcast, I'm starting a Medium blog now. I'm just organizing my content. And it will be maybe some growth stuff. I'm getting into machine learning, so it might be more of that. So definitely a shout out to that. And then obviously Plantswell. I mean, everyone needs a free financial plan, free financial advice.
Right.
That's what we're doing here. Very, very exciting. And you'll find that we're trying to create an awesome experience, a very easy to understand and fun experiences with, and usually people don't correlate that with their finances, but that's what we're trying to do here. And I think we're going to have a lot of success doing it.
Nice. And it's open to US and Canada or just Canada?
Canada right now. We'll be in the US in probably 6 months.
Nice. And the domain is it?
Plantswell.com.
Awesome.
Plantswell.com. Sign up to our wait list. I'm still on a wait list right now, but we'll be dropping it soon. And you're going to start hearing a lot more about Plantswell when we do.
Awesome, David. Thanks so much for your time. I had so much fun. I hope you did too.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming around. And it was an awesome experience. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening in on this episode. Man, I hope you found that this guy is so cool. I know I had some drinks with him just later this week. And I know that my chat with him, I learned just a lot of things about what it takes to become this kind of growth marketer. He really challenged me to maybe learn a little bit more development. I know I haven't coded for a while. I'm actually trying to learn React.
I'm trying to learn how to create Slack bots. I feel like it's really important for us growth people to know a little bit about everything. I know I'm not the best programmer out there, but more for me to be able to build a Slack bot really helps me to talk to other developers. For me to be able to design something, I might not be the best UX designer, but at least I can talk to UX people as to what the process, and it helps me to empathize with the different parts of the team. And I know, once again, David's so cool. He's so chill. I know that we're going to be good buddies in the future. If you don't get a chance to, you should definitely hit him up on Twitter or even on LinkedIn, David Hurley. And like you heard, he's trying to start his own blog on medium.com. So definitely follow up on them. I'm going to add it on the link on growthmarketing.today. And if you like this episode, I have a lot more in store for you. Why don't you subscribe on iTunes, to Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And once again, if you don't already know, I have an Insider Club newsletter where people who are part of this Insiders Club, they get my latest giveaways, news, and I give you a heads up, the insider information on who I'm going to be chatting with next. And the cool thing is, you can send me your questions and I'm going to ask it to that person. Imagine if I was interviewing somebody from Growth on Facebook, and you just send me a question. I'll give you a shout out that this question comes from whoever you are, and I'll shout out your name. If you have any feedback or questions, send me a short message at ramley@growthmarketing.today. In next week's episode, I get to chat with the head of growth at Hey Orca. He is also one of the organizers of the Growth Hikers Meetup here in Toronto. His name is Christian Contreras. Man, my chat with this guy, I just remember just nodding my head and like, wow, this is something new that I'm learning. He is part of Reforge, which is Brian Balfour's new education company. And he's in that program. It's very selective. I think they've already only accepted 1% or 2% of the people who applied. And this guy got in. The stuff that he talked about was something, some of the things that I've never thought about, but it makes sense. And now that he shared it with me, I'm excited to share that information with you. You don't want to miss next week's episode that is coming out next week. And other than that, this is Ramley from Growth Marketing Today, and don't stop growing. Passion.